Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Aleph tonight with Baba Kama 11 and 11a. So I'll begin on Yud Amud Beis, page 20. I'll start 1, 2, 3, 5 lines from the bottom. Daf Yud Amud Beis, 10b, 5 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, "I'm really Rav Kana the Rav." Rav Kana says to Rav, different gear says to Rava. He says, "Ela Tama the Kach Brachmana b'Mei Yelo." So he takes the pasuk says. In other words, if an animal falls into the boar, so the mazik has to pay damages, but maybe yellow. But the dead body belongs to the nizak. The dead carcass belongs to the nizak. So, but for that pasuk, but for that phrase, I would think that the dead carcass belongs to the mazik, belongs to the wrongdoer. So the Gemara says, look, let's say the Mazik would have a number of treifos in his possession, a number of carcasses from other animals. I'm left out a word. He says, Hashta, if he would have a number of treifos in his possession, he could pay the nizak with these dead carcasses, obviously. Says the Amar Mar Yashiv Rabot Shabbat Kesef through the Subin. We had Limud that Yashiv, the word Yashiv teaches me Shabbat Kesef is Kesef, and that a mazik can even pay with bran. So he says, Didei. So it goes without saying that this animal, that this carcass, certainly, it should belong to the nizak. In other words, anyway, the mazik could use it to pay him. So dinamibaya. So in other words, what's the chiddush that the carcass belongs to the nizak anyway? Even if you say it'd be the mazik could use it to pay him. So lo nitzrucha elu. So the Gemara says 2 lines to the bottom on Yudam days. So the Gemara says limud is necessary for pchat nevela. It means like this: let's say a shore fell into the boar. The shore was worth $1,000, and then it dies, it falls into the boar, it's dead. Now it's worth, the carcass is worth $100. But between the date of the incident and then until it goes to Bezdin, the carcass may depreciate in value, go down from $100 to $50. So who's responsible for that depreciation that's going down from the time of the injury till you get to Bezdin? So the Gemara says, that it's teaching me Pchat Nevela, meaning that that's on the Nizak. In other words, so Vamei Yelo, meaning the carcass belongs to the nizak. Now, after that, now that's your headache. In other words, so it's worth $100 at the time of the accident. You go, that's on your headache, and then it's what goes down to 50. Tough luck. That's your headache. We'll do a few lines. We'll pause. Okay. He says. So the Gemara says the bottom line on Yudam days. Let me pchat nevela tanoihi. Should we say that this halacha regarding pchat nevela is really machloka tanoim? So we had the memra. A few minutes ago, from Rav Kahana to Rav, or to Rav, it depends on the Nusach, but he wants, so that came out, that Pchat Nevela, then it was that's on the Nusach, but now we want to say it's Machlok Tanayim. Tanya, we learn the Braisa, in Taroki Tarefi V'Eweda, it's talking about a Shomer Sachar, somebody gave him an animal to watch, the animal got ripped up and killed, Yevi'ehu Eid, Yevi'edim Shnitrafa Ba'onis Hupatur. So the Tanakhama says, Yevi'ehu Eid, what does Eid mean? He'll bring Eidim, he'll bring witnesses, the Shomer will bring witnesses that the wolf came, whatever, it ripped it up, and it was the onus, it was through no fault of his own, and he's patur, he's off the hook. Abba Shulomer, Yavi Adudah Lebeitin. So Abba Shul says the word aid does not mean a witness. The word aid means a carcass, the carcass. He says Adudah. Let's look at Rashi on that. Yavi Adudah Nevela, Lebeitin, on the third wide line, Leshuma, to appraise it, Kamehishaveh, meaning that Abba Shul is saying that he, the Shomer, has to bring it to the Bezdin right away. So the Bezdin will do an immediate evaluation on the carcass in Rashi. Yavi ha'adudah. Yavi means he'll bring the carcass to the Bezdin. One second. He says, Kidefti b'boker yochalad. There's a pasuk. It says, Binyamin's the avitra. Binyamin is like a wolf, that it rips up the prey. B'boker yochalad. But both yochalad means in the morning it eats like the carcass. He says dahainu shalal, and then it says b'la'erev yechalek shalal. He says to kidim targamin and uda'a bipimori. In other words, the word shalal, it's the same thing. The word shalal, in the case of the wolf, is the same thing, means the carcass. Let me just do a few lines of the Gemara and then we'll pause. So back in the Gemara, the first line on the top, so Abishula says Yaviyeu Eid is talking about a different case, means where the shomer was at fault. Not that he was not at fault, he was at fault, he was negligent, and now he's given damages, but the Torah is saying Yaviyeu Eid, he should bring the carcass right away to Beis Din, do a quick evaluation, and then everything else is going to be on the Nizak. Then it's in his ballpark. My love, Hakimifagi. So the fact that there's a Machloket Tanayim about the meaning of this Pasuk, is it not that the Machloket turns on the issue that we've been describing? The Mars for Pachatnevela Nizakavi, that Abba Shaul, the second opinion, holds that Pachatnevela, the depreciation of the carcass, that's on the head of the Nizak, that's his headache. He says, and therefore he explains, if you do to the Beis Din. In other words, that the shomer should bring the carcass to Beis Din right away, do a quick evaluation, and then gemara. And then he'll have, in other words, let's say the same thing, the animal's worth $1,000. Now the dead is worth $100. So we'll bring the carcass, Beis Din says it's worth $100. Now if it depreciates further, that's on the Nizak's headache. That's his headache. So that's why he says, if you do to the Beis Din. Umar Savar Demazikavi. But the first opinion we think holds, no. In other words, whether it depreciates, whatever goes on in the Beis Din, that's the Mazik's headache. So it doesn't help him if he brings it right away to Beis Din. That's his headache. So therefore, he doesn't want to explain the Pasuk that way. So if the way we explain the Brice is correct, so this halacha that Rav Kahana said to Rava that it was that the Chatan Avela was on the Nizak is really Machloka Tanayim, and only Abba Shul holds that way. That's what we think. So the Gemara says on the fourth line, Lo, Dekuli Am the Nizak. No. I could say everybody in this Brice, they all hold it's on the Nizak's head. Bahaka Batorok Nevela Kamiflagi. The point of dispute between the Tanakama and Abba Shaul is Batorok Nevela, who's got the headache of getting this animal out of the pit, whatever, and getting it to Beis Din. He says, Bahatan, in other words, so Abba Shaul says, Yavio due to the Beis Din, that the Mazik, he's got to, he's not just say, here's your carcass at the bottom of the pit. You got to lift it up, get it out of there, and bring it to Beis Din. You'll be under the Beis Din. The first one says no. But the Inahinami, they both hold that it's on the hands of the Nizak in terms of the depreciation. Bahatanya, here Bahatanya is usually a question, but here Rashi says, Bahatanya, where's the Rashi? He says, Binichut, it's a statement. This Bryce supports what we just said. Achim Romrim, Minayin Shal Balabor, Lalo Shor, Miboro. How do I know that the Balabor, if I have a pit, and then the animal falls in, gets killed, then that's my responsibility, not just to pay, but to get the carcass out of there. Tamil Omar, Kesef Shivla Bala Vami. So in the Torah it says, Kesef Shivla Bala Vami Yelo. That's what the Pasuk says. But the way he punctuates the Pasuk is, Kesef Shivla Bala Vami. That the Mazik, the owner of the boar, he's got to give Kesef and he's got to give the mate. But that's his headache to get the mate out of there and take care of it. So, okay, let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause. Okay, so Amalei Abai the Rava. So Abai said to Rava, "Hi Torah Nevela Heichidami. What exactly is the circumstance? We're talking about Torah Nevela, the Mazik, in the case of the boar, he's got to get the animal out of the pit and bring it to Beis Din. What are the circumstances, meaning in terms of worth and you know cost benefit?" He says, "Ilema de Bebir Shav Yezuza. If we'll say that in the boar the animal's worth a zuz, Ba'aguda Shav Yarba. But if it's gotten out of there, it's worth four zuzim. In other words, obviously." You know, it's worth more to a person having, you know, let's say there's a big ox at the bottom of a pit and the pit is, you know, 10 amot deep or whatever, you know. So, you know, it could be worth something down there, but it's a big headache to get this thing out of the pit. But he says, but on the lip, on the outside of the pit, it's worth four zuzim. So the Gemara says, so why does the Torah have to say, in other words, it's his responsibility. He tarak the nafshi tarak. In other words, it's in the mazik's own self-interest to get it out. Right. Now, obviously, I owe less damage if I get it out. Torah doesn't have to tell me to bring it to Beis Din because it's in my financial interest to bring it to Beis Din and get it out of there. So Amar Lei, so this is what, that's what Abai said to Rabbah. So Rabbah says, so Abai, lo, strich of the bir shav yizuzah, v'aguda nami shav yizuzah. No, we're talking about a case that the animal's worth the zuz in the pit and it's worth the zuz even out of the pit. So the Gemara says, v'mikikai gavna. So there is no financial incentive per se to bring it to Beis Din, but the Torah is saying, no, you have to bring it and get it out. Umikai Gavna, is there such a thing? Why would the thing be worth the same thing in the pit and the same thing out of the pit? So there is such an idea like this. The Amri and Chi people say, Kishura Bamata Bezuza. Kishura is a beam. A beam in the city where you do construction is worth a zuz. Kishur b'davar b'zuzah. And the beam in the field is also worth a zuz, even though now you have to bring it to the city. So it's one price fits all. Sometimes it's a one price fits all item. So that's the way that goes. Okay, let's pause. Let's take in a little think of what we just learned, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so we got into the topic of Pachat Nevela. Pachat Nevela means that, again, we said the carcass belongs to the Nizak, the carcass belongs to the injured party, but this Pachat Nevela, like the carcass is going to depreciate in value, so whose headache is that? In other words, till I go to the Bezdin and we have a Din Torah, so the carcass, is, the value is going to go down. So Rav Kahana said that's on the Nizak's head, that's the Nizak's responsibility with the Pachat Nevela. And then we said though that the Mazik though is responsible for getting the carcass out of there, but the depreciation is on the head of the Nizak. Okay, who's got questions coming? Oh, Daniel's got a question. Then we'll take it up from everybody else. Go ahead, Daniel. Let me
talking about Pachat Nevela that the price goes down. Are we talking as time goes by, it is worth less?
Correct.
So now what if the price goes up, is this a triviality or it's not?
I've never heard of that. Anyway, okay.
Second thing, it sounds that Nizak, poor guy, already got injured. He's trying to get his money. You throw everything at him. Pachat Nevela is his. To take it out is his.
No. We said the Mazik has to take the animal out of the pit. Mazik has to bring it to Bez. That's what we said.
Okay, the Mazik. So that was a conclusion. There's a Mazik.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, he's getting.
Well, actually, Torah Nevela was a Machloket tonight. We said Abba Shaul says he's got to get it out. The Tanakama holds not that way.
And Halakha Masai, I thought that it was the Nizak.
I don't know about that. I don't know about
that. But still, I mean, he's getting the short end of the stick. Everything he has to do, it's not enough for him to have been injured?
No. His animal died. His animal's dead. So the question is, what's the measure of damages? So the measure of damages is, let's say the ox was worth $1,000 live. Now the ox is dead, and it was my boar. It was my boar, and it was just a rabbit. Now it's worth The carcass is worth $100 at the time of the death. So, and now the mazik has to get the carcass out of there, but the any depreciation of value between now and the time of the Din Torah, that's on the Nizak. Okay, who has any questions in the Zoom world? Any questions in the Zoom world? Okay, good. Anybody?
What did it say that mazik has to pay for the mistake?
Yeah. Again, look at line 5 in the Gemara. Did you see that?
Right. There was an opinion.
It was Machloket tonight, but Ramir says it looks like that's the halakha. Okay. Okay. So we're going to go on in the Gemara now. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, so we're around 10 lines down in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, 11a, around 10, 15 lines down in the Esteris. So Amar Shmuel. In Shaman Lulagana with Lulagazlan El Nizakin. So Shmuel says, now, when we make the appraisal of the value, it means like this, that let's say I'm a Mazik. So I'm getting a sort of like a set off for my damages. In other words, I let's say I killed the shore. I did so no shore would be $1,000, but I'm getting a set off from the value of the carcass. So Shmuel says, in Shaman Lulagana, let's say Ganav steals an animal. So, and then the animal dies or something like that. So he doesn't get a set off for it. In other words, he has to pay, he has to replace, like, they stole a sheep, you got to get back. You got to bring a live sheep or pay the whole sheep. And so Ein Shaman, we don't have an evaluation for a Ganav below the Gazlan or for a Gazlan. Elon Nizakin. We only do that, the appraisal as set off for the damages by Nizakin, if you do damages. Now, here's the key line, and we don't understand this line, we must be patient. But Aniomer, Shmuel says himself. Now, Rashi says that this first statement of Amar Shmuel, let's see where the Rashi is, he says, Minhag Dayanimhu. So Rashi says it's the Minhag of the Dayanim. Tosos brings down, and the third Tosos quotes from Meshulchan Rabbi Chai, that it gives to Amar Shmuel, Amar Li Abba, that Abba said to me, I don't know if he means Rav, but it sounds like Rav. Rav is usually Abba. He says, but back in the Gemara, Va'ani Omer, but I say, Af L'Shoel. After show is somebody who borrows an animal, and then he has the greatest amount of liability for it. So let's say he borrows the animal, and then the animal gets killed or stolen or something like that. So, but you'd have to still have the animal around. But the same din would apply by a show ale. So the question is, what does he mean? The same din by the show ale? Does he mean that the show is like the Nizakin, where you get set off for it? Does he mean like that? Or does he mean that Shoel is like the God of the Goslin, where he doesn't get it? That's the thing. He says, "Vaniel Meir Afla Shoel, but Abba Motivli." And Abba, which is Rav, agrees with me. So Ibayil, who's the question was asked in the base medrash, Hachi Kamar, Afla Shoel Shamin, but Abba Motivli, or Hechi Kamar. What is he saying? Not Hachi Kamar, Hechi Kamar. He says, Afla Shoel Shamin, but Abba Motivli. Was he saying that for a Shoel, let's say, you know, a Shoel, you know, he's borrowing the animal, and then the animal dies or whatever. He says, so is he saying after Shoel Shamin Ba'aba Modali that we would, you know, evaluate and give him set off for the value of the carcass? Odilma Mafi Kamar Bani Omer after Shoel Ain Shamin, or it should be Haki Kamar. I made a mistake. Haki. Oh, okay. Then means Hachi Kamar, right? So Yibailu Hachi Kamar, was he saying like this? Afla Shoel Shamin VaAba Modali, Odilma Hachi Kamar VaNiel Mer Afla Shoel Ein Shamin, or was he saying for Shoel we don't give him set off? We're like a Ganav and a Goslin VaAba Modali, and Rav agrees with me. So Tashma the Hu Gavra the Shal Nargam Echavre, there was a certain man. We're trying to bring a proof as to what Shmuel meant and what Rav agreed to. There was a certain man that borrowed an axe from his friend. Tavra, he broke the axe. Out to the Kami de Rav, he came for Rav, the person who was the borrower. So Amalei Zil Shlim Le Nar Gamalia, you have to pay him for a nice axe. In other words, you borrowed a nice axe, you broke it. You don't say you can give the pieces of the axe and then make the difference. He says he give him a Nar Gamalia. Shmamina Ein Shamin. So that sounds like we don't. Again, that's a Shoel case. He borrowed something that was an animal axe, and he broke it. We don't give him the set-off for it. So it sounds like Shmamin Ein Shamin. So it sounds like the pshat is that Shmuel said we wouldn't appraise it and we wouldn't give him a set-off, like you're saying, like the God of the Goslin. So the Gemara says that Draba, no, I could bring from that incident a proof the opposite direction. In that incident, Rav Kana Ravasi said to Rav, Inahaki, is that the halacha? Bishatik. And Rav was silent. So he's meaning they didn't think the halacha was that way. And in the reference to their questions, Rav was silent. So Shmamina Shamin, that seems to think that we pon faker, that we would evaluate and give him credit for the broken items. So Itmar, Amar Ula, Amar Blazar, Shamin Laganav Lagazan. So Ula says in Blazar that even by Ganav Lagazan we do praise. Rapapi Amar Ain Shamin. Vihilchata Ain Shamin Lulaganav Lulagana Lulagazan. Halacha is we don't appraise for a Ganav or a Goslin, aval the Shoel Shamin, he's a Rav Kahana for Ravasi. But for a Shoel, we would give an appraisal like Rav Kahana Ravasi had, you know, questioned Rav. Okay? All right, go ahead.
Why is it we are accepting that a person who is damaged, he will come and take that? Is it Gzerata Katuv?
No, no. In other words, no. In other words,
who wants to have a
no. Here's the suit. In other words, like in the Torah, we began with the pasuk, "Ba'amet yelo."
Yes,
the maid belongs to the nizak.
Yes,
and so the mazik only has to pay the difference.
Yes.
So the question is that halacha applied also by God? There are a lot of places where the Torah says A has to pay B. So we learned by nizikin, we learned one did. So what's the halacha by Ganav and a Goslin? So
it's not by logic, it's just Zerat HaKatuv that the Nizak comes takes.
No. By Nizak, the Torah says that's the way it's going to be. That there's going to be a set-off. But the question is, what about a Ganav and a Goslin? So no, they have to pay the whole enchilada. But then what's the din by a Shoel? Okay.
Right. Any question comes across anything we did so far?
Everybody good? Okay. Let's keep moving. Now, the Gemara had mentioned before, we had Ula, the name of Blaza. Where was it?
I'm sorry, with the show.
Wait, please, wait 1 second, Dana. Let me just focus. Where was that? One second. Yeah. Okay. No, before. Yeah, right. Okay, so we just quoted Ula, the name of Blazar. Now the Gemara is going to quote six halakot that totally unrelated to Baba Kama, just all across the thing that with the Rav Lazar. What do you want to say, Dan?
Regarding the Shoel, where what he borrowed died without him doing anything,
but let's
and
say,
just because it died in his hand.
Let's say it doesn't have to be an animal. It could be an axe. Like the
yes.
he borrows an axe. Do me a favor. Can I borrow your axe? He borrows the axe. He breaks the axe.
But he did something wrong, or it just happened because of...
No, he was negligent. He was negligent.
Because of negligence.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. All right. All right. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Okay. So now we're 8 lines from the bottom on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Again, this is a topic does not relate in any way to Baba Kama. Just Ula Nimr Blazar. The Amar Ula Nimr Blazar. So if you remember, when a woman gives birth, so if she gives birth to a male child, she's tamei for 7 days, and then that means the blood that's the dam tuma, and she's tam tamei, and then 33 days after that, whatever blood she has is dam tohar. In other words, she'll go to the mikvah, and then any blood she has for the next 33 days on a din Torah is dam tohar. If a woman gives birth to a female, so she's tamei for 14 days. And then she'll go to the mikvah, and then for the next 66 days there'll be dam tohar. Okay, and then she brings a korban at the conclusion of the 14 and 66. On day 80 she'd bring a korban. Okay, and then or day 40. Okay, or 41 I think, and 81 she'd bring a korban. Okay, now we're talking about a woman here who miscarries. So she miscarries, and she has a whole amniotic sac comes out of her. So, let's say part of the sac came out on one day, part of the sac on the second day. Now, she's miscarrying, and we can't determine what the sex of the fetus was, but we know she's miscarrying. Let's just say that part of the sac came out on Sunday, and part of the sac came out on Monday. It could have it like, you know, late afternoon going to Ben HaShpasha, be like that. So, Monin Laman Arishon. So, Ulis and Rav Lazar, we count Yimei Tuma. We're going to be Machmir. We don't know if it's male or female. So, we're going to be Machmir both ways. We'll say that she's Tumea for 14 days, but we'll assume that, and then we'll assume that she only has Dam Toar for, like, will be 33 minus 7. So, whatever, would be like 26 days. So we'll assume that anything she touches is Tumea. But he says, in terms of counting the days, we begin the count from the first day when part of the amniotic sac comes out of her. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says through Ula Nimr Blazar, my daitach luchumra. Like, what's your thinking? You think you're being machmir? In other words, that now again, she's only tamea when most of the ubar comes out of her. When most of the ubar comes out of her, so we're choshesh that most of the ubar came out of her with the piece of the sac that came out on Sunday, let's say. So Rava says, you think you're being machmir that way. In other words, you're machmir. Now what she touches on Sunday will be tamei. Let's assume it's a later yabeshta. Sometimes the Gemara takes it, a woman could give birth and there's no other blood coming out. But if she gives birth, then she's tamei. She's tamei. So, but she's only tamei if most of the ubar has come out already. But only part of the amniotic sac came out. But we're choshesh that most of the ubar came out already. And we can't see anything, so all, let's say, dissolved in there. So my daitach l'chumra, you think you're being machmir. Chumra daitach l'kulahu. It's a chumra that's going to lead you to a kula, become a tarat law, marishon, because if you're going to calculate out that the first day of Tuma is on Sunday, so then the days of Tuma will expire one day earlier. In other words, whatever, whether it's 7 or 14 days, they're going to end a day earlier. In other words, Ella Amarava. In other words, she has to be choshesh that anything she touches is tamea, but mimna lumimnia elosheni. But when we do the count of days, we should begin from Monday for the count of days. In other words, she might have given birth to a female, so she might be tamea for 14 days. So begin the 14 days, begin the count from Monday, not from Sunday. But anything she touches on Sunday will be tamea.
But from Monday, but she's coming from
Sunday. Okay, now. So the Gemara says, "My Kamash Malan." So the Gemara says, "What was Ula Neighbor Blazar trying to teach me?" He says, "The Ain Mixat Shilya below blood." Mistama, he was teaching me. We think that you can't have a part of a shilya without a blood. Now, the reason is like this. In other words, if we would say you could have part of the shilya without a blood, so then I'll be tola that who says that most of the blood came out? Maybe most of the blood didn't come out, and I'll say she's tahor. But if I say that any even there's always a little bit of the blood in any part of the shilya. So then, in other words, if there's always part of the blood in the part of the shilya, I'll say she's tmeya. If I'll say this could be there could even be no vlad in the shilya, then it's a fake sveika. Maybe there was no vlad in there, or even if there was a vlad, maybe it was less than half. So it's like a fake sveika, she should be tahora. But so Mastama, he's teaching me that ain't shilya below vlad, that if a part of the shilya comes out, then the part of the vlad has come out. In other words, we're choshesh that rov came out. Because if rov didn't come out, there's nothing out of this tower. But we're choshesh that rov came out. But we don't know whether rov came out or not. Nobody can determine because it's like all dissolved in there. So Ulam must have been teaching me, we think, that ain shilya below vlad, that any part of the shilya has at least some portion of the vlad there. So therefore, I'm choshesh that makes me most of the vlad left out. But if you could have a part of the shilya without the vlad, then it would be a sveik sveika. Maybe there's no vlad, and even if there is some vlad, maybe it's less than half. So it must be that he holds that ain shilya below vlad. Maybe that's what he was coming to teach me. Now, Rashi brings up this idea of sveik sveika, and Rabbi Leibowitz is pointing out, Tosfos points out, that even it would be sveik sveika, it would still be tame. So he says that we say safik tumur shura yachid sveik utame, even with sveik sveika, but he said the nafkamina would be, he says, lo's for the bala, to asra on her husband, that would be the issue. In other words, like the in other words, like for sveik sveika, we wouldn't asra her on the husband. All right, but anyway, you get the idea. Now, let's see back in the Gemara.
I don't understand. If sveik sveika normally is going to say that it is you cannot have time. Safek sveka.
Okay, so Toso says that when we say safek tumu rishus yachid sveko tame, Toso says even a sveik sveka would be tame. Well, that's what Toso says. Okay, now he says all right. So Toso, what's the Gemara saying? Sveik sveka. So saying that like I wouldn't say that she's prohibited on her husband. Okay, so now let's see back in the Gemara. So that's what we think that he was teaching. So, but if that's the case, three lines from the bottom, Tanina, I already learned this in the Mishnah, in the Sechah Kulin. The Mishnah says, Shilya Shiyas Tamik Satoa. This is talking about an animal, a person is ready to shecht an animal, let's say like a cow. And Shilya Shiyas Tamik Satoa, and then I have the amniotic sac left the animal. Asur ba'achilon. In other words, so I can't eat it. In other words, let's say the amniotic sac left the animal, he says. So anything that sticks its hands out before shechita is not included in the shechita. Let's say you have the amniotic sac, and it leaves the animal, but let's say then it gets reabsorbed in the animal. So if most of the ubar went out, then it's like born already. So once it's born, it needs its own shechita. It's not included with the other. So the Mishnah says shilya shi'as tamik satoh, that if some of the shilya exited the animal before shechita, then asur ba'achila. In other words, the whole amniotic sac is prohibited ba'achila. Skip it about going back. In other words, if shilya shi'as tamik satoh, if some of the shilya exited the animal, the whole shilya is prohibited by achila because I'm choshesh that most of the ubar was born. The most of the ubar went out. That's the case. It says semen blood beisha, semen blood behema. In other words, the shilya is the semen for the blood, and the isha says semen blood behema. So what do I need Ula named Reb Lazar to teach me this din with the isha, the woman that was giving birth? I know that halacha from the Mishnah in Masechet Chulin, that once part of the shilya goes out, I'm choshesh that the whole ubar is born already. So leave out the part about going in. It was once part of the shilya goes out, the whole shilya is prohibited, because I'm a choshesh that mostly has come out. So even about nitin, so the Gemara says, if I only had that Mishnah Masechet Kulin, Havamina, I would have said, turn page on the top line of the Dolphin Bays. If I only had the animal case, not the woman case that Ula taught me. So the way I just explained is a good way to explain it, but I would have thought, Nishmiksa shilya below blood. I could have said that no, that you could have part of the shilya without a blood. You could have part of the amniotic sac without a blood in there. And Uxera miksatatu kula. But the reason that they said you can't have any of the amniotic sac is because we're afraid for a case where the whole sac will leave the animal. In other words, let's say that like a part of the sac leaves the animal. So I'll say, so you can eat the amniotic sac, fine. I'll be afraid that people will confuse that with a case where the whole sac leaves and then gets reabsorbed in the animal. They'll say, you know, we had one case where I could eat the sac. I could eat the sac in this case too. So that's, but really, I would have thought that you could have mixed the shilya below blood. You could have part of the shilya without the blood. Now, but by the woman, there's no chashash about them saying about gzera mixta to kula, because by the woman, but it says if you look in the first hour line in Rashi, about kabi ishlo nechush to mixta latame tarot, the rishon, datam lechle mixta to kula, dakachazi miki nafik blood besheni mitamina lot. In other words, by the woman, we would say that I see, in other words, I would have thought, left to my own devices, that with a woman, she's only tamea, you know, when the whole thing comes out, she'll be tamea. When the whole thing comes out, she'll be tamea. I wouldn't have said anything from the first thing. And if I only had the Mishnah of the second Kulin. So because I would have said that, you know, that Miksad Shilya could be without a vlad. And therefore, the woman, you know, or the din, but the woman isn't tamea or it's not asan or bala, whatever you want to say the din is. And then people would see that when the whole thing comes out, we see we're tamei her. So the so kamash malan. So anyway, that's why he had to teach me the case of the woman. In other words, if I only had the Mishnah Maseches Kulin, it wouldn't have been so clear on the case. Now that he teaches it, now I know that ain makes the chili below blood. All right, I'm going to the next case.
What is there to eat with the sack? Is something edible?
Whatever. Okay, now, whatever's edible is edible. Okay, now, the second line of the Gemara. Ba'amar Ula Amar Blazar, this is a totally unrelated halakha. He says, B'chor shenitra toshul shem yom, if a human, in other words, a child, was killed, was murdered in 30 days, like ripped apart, but like murdered in 30 days of his birth, ein podin oto. So there's no din of pidyon ben, assuming it's the firstborn. He says, B'chein tani rami barchama. And that's what Rami Rechama taught in the Braisa. Mitoshin emar padotif deh. So the Pasuk says, Uftuyav ben chodesh tifdeh. He says, Mitoshin emar padotif deh. Yechol afil nitrap toshoshim. Tamalomar ah chalek. So Rashi quotes the Pasuk. Where is it? Where is the Pasuk? One second. Yeah. Ach padotif deh bechor hadam. So the Pasuk says, Ach padotif deh bechor hadam. So I would have thought that the Zachiyav, even if it got murdered, So ach means chalek. Ach means I have to. There's a miyut. So I don't. Let's just see Rashi on this on the sixth narrow line. Ein poden oto, ein tzrich l'toto. The mate may ask for it's tzrich on the meimar. Let's say if the infant would die on his own, so then I know that there's no din of pidyon. Daktiv uftuyam in chodesh tifdeh. In other words, it has to be a bar kayama. If it doesn't last 30 days, we assume it's not a bar kayama. About hashtid tzrich l'shmina d'lo minan. So here I would have thought, left to my own devices, that it's a viable human, and had he not been murdered, like, you know, an outside, you know, agent, he would have lived. So maybe you're chayiv to pidyon ben. So kamash malan, not. Kamash malan, you're not chayiv to pidyon ben. And there's a whole piece of Torah he has over here. One second, let me get the, this is from the Daf Yomi Digest, the Daf Digest. One second.
After 30, you die.
No. Let's say you mean a child dies at age 40 days. Yeah, then you have a chiyuv of pidyon ben. I think so. Okay. All right. Now,
you mean it's dead. What is it for pidyon for?
The Shuvas Yaakov was asked whether the father of a firstborn baby boy born on the night of the 14th of Nisan was fast. Let's say it's Leil Erev Pesach, and that night my wife gives birth to a baby boy. So do I, the father, have to fast the next morning, which is Tanis Bechorim? It was if I have a Bechor, I'm out. Do I have to fast or not? Okay? So let's take a look. So the rationale to exempt the father from fasting is the assumption that the obligation to fast begins at the beginning of the night of the 14th. Since this child was born after that time, the father never became obligated to fast. That's one way. Or perhaps the fact is not relevant. If discussing various angles related to the question, he concludes that if the baby was born after Chatzot, the father is exempt from fasting. So if the baby boy is born after Chatzot, after midnight, halakhically after midnight, the father's patur that year from fasting. He says, the reason is that even the Egyptian babies that were born after Chatzot were not subject to the decree of death. So it was only the Jewish babies that were born before Chatzot that were saved from the plague of the firstborn that would be obligated to fast. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz said, the night is really the next night. In other words, the Makkah Bechorah took place on the night of the 15th, but we're fasting, but the Tanis Bechorah is the 14th. But he was saying, but if it's born, in other words, in Egypt, so the Makkah Bechorah took place at like the night of the Seder. And now, but the Minhag is to fast on Erev Pesach. But we're going to simulate what would be on the 15th. So it's children that were born after Chatzot on the 15th, obviously not included in Makkah Bechorah. So two here the same way. That's one way he said. Now, the Korban Netanel suggests the father's exemption from fasting has nothing to do with when the baby was born. Rather, it's really the principle presented in our Gemara. A father is not obligated to fast for his firstborn son, who is less than 30 days old, since he has not removed himself from the category of a stillborn, similar to the Gemara that states that before a baby is 30 days old, there's no obligation to perform pidyon ben. So he's going to say more directly. He wants to say that till a child is 30 days old, you don't know if he's an nephil or not. One second, let us be patient, okay? Please, okay? The Birki Yosef advocates on behalf of the Shus Yaakov and demonstrates that precedent cannot be drawn from the case of Pidyon HaBen. In other words, the Korban Netanel wants to be medamed this halakha to the din by Pidyon HaBen. Does Pidyon HaBen have anything to do with fasting on for Tanis Bechorim? So the Birki Yosef says, no, the Torah decrees that Pidyon HaBen may not be performed earlier than 30 days after the baby's born. Regarding the fast of the firstborn, it is logical to assume that any baby that was alive during the plague of the firstborn was in danger, even those babies that were destined to die before they received 30 days. In other words, one says two different inyanim. One, right. He says, therefore, the father's obligation of fast depends upon whether or not the baby was born before Chatzot. Chartum agrees with Birki Yosef's assertion that Pidyon HaBen does not provide precedent for our question. Okay, what do you got?
Stillborn means that at the time of birth, the child is dead. He is talking about Bar Kayama, that is going to be viable child, right?
In other words, in halacha, wait, in halacha, when we talk about a viable child, it means a child that will live for 30 days.
So in other words, by that terminology, less than 30 is considered to be stillborn?
It's considered to be a nephil. A nephil. In other words, a child that's not going to survive. Okay, but there's even with that, it's explained, because the Gemara talks about, if you know the Kavalu Chadasha, you know that it was a full-term pregnancy or whatever, then I think even before 30 days, it's considered to be Bar Kayama. All right, anyway, let's go on. I think Tanis Bechorim, I think, is itself a bit. Let me say
what.
All right, we've gone through this before.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Give me. I need the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah lower. Two shelves down. Give me the Chelak Hay. Okay. I'm going to tell you in 1 second, and then I want you to remember this, and then let's. Okay. Bechorot is a general term. Bechorot can refer to animals, or it can refer to humans. Is Bechorot. Bechorim generally refers to humans. Okay, so we refer to it as Tanis Bechorim. I think the Mechaber says Tanis Bechorot. Okay, but that's it. And now I don't want to hear that question again. Okay, I want you to chazer it, and now you have it.
All you have to do is say it once. That's it.
All right, one second.
Are you already against me? It's a custom, I know. Right.
Yes,
that's the case. Every father who has his firstborn child, the son, has to.
All right. Here's what the Makamer says. He just says Habachor mitanim be'erev Pesach. That's Bechorim fast on Erev Pesach. Then Bechorim. The Makamer just seems to say it like a halacha. All right. I gotta go on. Okay. All right. Let me go on. Okay. Okay. Now hold off questions till I pause. Okay. All right. Let's take a look back in the Gemara. We can have any questions now. Okay. Now. Okay, on line 6. Yamar Ulam Rav Lazar. We have lots of Gemaras here. Okay, please take the Gemara, open it up. Okay. Yamar Ulam Rav Lazar. We're on page 22, Yadalpam Bay's line 6. Please. Okay. Yamar Ulam Rav Lazar. Behema Gasa, nickname for Mashicha. Behema Gasa is a big animal. A horse would be Behema Gasa. An ox would be Behema Gasa. It's part of a Mashicha. In other words, if the seller has it in his rishos, I pull it into my rishos, or I pull it into like a place, like an alleyway in the rishos of Rabim. He says, so a behema gas is nicknamed to Mashicha. So the Gemara says, that's what Ula says in Rav Lazar. So the Gemara says, Vanantanan b'mesira, but we learned in our Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in the Masechet Kiddushin, that a behema gas is acquired by Mesira, like I gave over the reins. That's the way to do the Kenyan on it. So the Gemara says, Hu de Amar ki Aitana, that Ula named Rav Lazar was following the following Tana. The Tanya, we learned the Braisa, but Chachamim Arim Zuba Zuba Mashicha. The Chachamim say, well, there's a Behema Daka or Behema Gasa is acquired by Mashicha. Rabbi Shimon Omer and Zuba Zuba Agba. Rabbi Shimon says that they're both acquired by Hagba. Agba is lifting up, so it's a small animal. You can lift it up. It's a big animal, like an elephant. You can't, but you get it to step on like branches and things like that. Okay, now new halakha. Amar Ulam Blazar, Ha'akim Shechalku, Mashalein Shamin, Mashal B'nei Rotein Ein Shamin. So the brothers are coming to divide the estate. So when they come to buy the estate, so the clothes that they purchased have to also be, in other words, with assets from the estate, or the clothes that they're wearing, or is also going to be calculated in the division. He says, "Umashal b'nei b'notein ein shamin." But that which the kids are wearing, that we're not going to evaluate. Rashi learns it's like a disgrace to make the kids come into Bezdin or whatever. And then Tosfos points out, if you look at the Tosfos, the third very wide line, Mashal b'nei b'notein ein shamin should b'ishan labim lebeitin u'machli adari. Everybody's mochel each other. U'pesach Rav Alpha is still dafka big day chol. It's only the weekday garments. About big day Shabbat shamin, achiti b'shamin. The Shabbos clothes we would evaluate. The way that Rav Leibowitz was explaining is that they would have one, you know, one weekday clothes, one Shabbos clothes. Everybody, what it sounds like. So the weekday clothes, we're not going to make them in. They're wearing it. But Shabbos clothes, I could fold it up and bring it to Bezdin. They could evaluate that. Now, Ein Shaman. So Amara Papa, back in the Gemara, Pamim, Afma Shalem, please look inside. He says, Amara Papa, that's you. Well, all right, well, please try to learn that way. Okay, ten lines down in the Gemara. Okay. Otiot Machimot, okay? So Amara Papa, Pamim, Afma Shalehen, Ein Shaman. Sometimes even things that one of the siblings is wearing would not be calculated out. Mashkachla begadol ache. Let's say there's an idea of gadol abayit. It comes up in Avelos as well, that you have one of the brothers is like, he's taking care of the estate. He's running the show. So he says, the nichluhu d'lishtam nila. In other words, they're all to everyone's benefit that he should be dressed. He looks like Bekabadik. So people listen to him, and like, you know, he's making financial arrangements for them and things like that. So they got benefit from the fact that he had nice clothes, so that we wouldn't evaluate that. Okay, now next halacha. The Amar Ulam Rav Lazar, Shomer Shemasar L'Shomer Patur. Let's say Reuven gave his diamond ring to a Yaakov. Yaakov gave his diamond ring to Reuven to guard it, and then Reuven gave the diamond ring to Shimon to guard. So he says, Shomer Shemasar, but Reuven didn't speak to Yaakov about doing that, but Reuven did that. And then something happened to the diamond ring, obviously. So Shomer Shemasar, Shomer Patur. So if the Shomer gave it to another Shomer, the first Shomer is off the hook. He didn't do anything that was negligent by giving it to another Shomer. The Lomabaya Shomer Chinam, Shemasar, Shomer Sachar, it goes without saying, let's say Reuven was a Shomer Chinam. So a Shomer Chinam is Chayav for Pshia, but he's Patur and Gneva Veda. So if Reuven gave it to Shimon, and Shimon was a Shomer Sakar, he's paying Shimon to guard it. So certainly he's like upgrading the level of Shmirah. So he's certainly off the hook. And when he's saying he's off the hook, meaning anything that happened to the chayfetz that he would normally be patur for. So he's patur for, for Gneva Veda, he's off the hook, but he's chayev on, pshia. But this is not pshia, giving it over to him. This is the Luyai L'Shmir To. Ela afilu shomer sakhar shomer shara l'shomer chinam. Even if Reuven was a shomer sakhar, and he gives it over to Shimon, who's a shomer chinam, dashti grugar l'Shmir To. Now he's like lowering the level of shmira. Nami patur, he, Reuven, is patur, if the underlying item would be something he'd be patur for, shrei masar l'bendat, because he gave it to somebody who's got seichel, so it's a bendat, so he's not liable for that. Rava Amar, shomer shomasal shomer chayav, Rava says pungfaker, that if a shomer gives to another shomer, he's on the hook, and this looks like the way the whole halacha, lomabai shomer sachar, shomasar l'shomer chinam, regard l'shmir ato. If Reuben was a Shomer Sachar and now he gave it to Shimon and now he's a Shomer Chinam, so it's less level Shmira, so certainly I'm Chayev. Even if he went up in Shmira, he, Reuben, is Chayev. Why? The Amarle, because Yaakov, who was the Mavkid, could say to Reuben, at Mehemet Libeshua. In other words, when something happens to the Chefza, so the Shomer is going to take a Shua, and as a result of the Shua, he's going to get off the hook. So let's say he's a Shomer Sachar. So he's chayav for, Geneva Veda, he's chayav for Pshia. But, let's say Onsen happened. So he'll take a Shua that it was Onus. It was not my fault. So he, Reuben, Yaakov, could say to Reuben, At Mehemad Libeshua. You, I believe in the Shua. You're a reliable person. I like your Shua. Hi, Lo Mehemad Libeshua. I don't know this guy. I don't believe him with the Shua. And he gave it to him. So that's, you're on the line for that. Now, if you look at the Tosfos, and Rabbi Levis was talking about this, he says, the third to last Tosfos, I'm Eman Libeshua, Lepi Tamze Ima Sheni Neman Yoterman Arishon, Nira de Patur. So, according to this reason, if the second person has a lot of Nemanus, I don't know, let's say he's a Gadol Ador or something like that, so then it sounds like Rubi Patur. And then he says, Baba Mavkid Ikatama Harina, but Mavkid and Bab Mansiya, which is coming up in Dafyomi, another 6 months, he says the ain resonishi pizanibi aracher. There's a different reason the Gemara says that Yaakov could say, "I don't want my pikadon to be in somebody else's custody." He says the ain shneatim nolal shabin kedmucha chatam. So that would be different. In other words, he says, "I don't want anybody else to handle it except for you." Yeah, I want you handling it. So he says, "What's this?" He says ain resonishi pizanibi aracher. Then he's on the line. Okay, now last halacha. 8 lines from the bottom, the Gemara on your left on the base, okay? The Amar Ula Amar Blazar, Hilchata, Govin Minhavadim. This is a totally different case. This is where you have a creditor, and in other words, Reuven lent $10,000 to Shimon. Shimon didn't pay the debt, but Shimon has an Ebed Kanani. So he, Reuven, the creditor, can take the Ebed Kanani, can take Shimon's Ebed Kanani in satisfaction of the debt. Amarli Rav Nachman Ula, I'm Reb Lazar, Afilu Miatne. So Reb Nachman said to Ula, did Reb Lazar say that even if the creditor is approaching the atonement of the creditor, in other words, let's say Shimon's children, Shimon died, left an estate, left children, and he left an Eved Kanani. Did Reb Lazar say that the creditor can seize the Eved Kanani from the atonement? Now, if he would say that he can seize it from the atonement, that would mean that the Eved is viewed as karka, that we view the Eved as karka. Land, he could definitely seize. So if that would be the case, then that would mean that Reb Lazar holds that land is like karka. Now, Reb Nachman holds that Eved is not like karka. Reb Nachman holds that Eved is not like karka. So this is Ula quoting Reb Lazar. So Reb Nachman said to Ula, did Reb Lazar say Yim Yatme? So Ula says, lo, mine. He says, no, he meant only from the person himself he could seize the Eved Kanani. So, mine, I feel like Lima Dal Kafe. So, if it's from the person himself, he could seize anything. So, the Gemara says, Hakamayaskina, and what are we talking about here? Shasa'oa Potiki Kidarabha. That the debtor made this Eved an Apotiki. Apotiki means that he says to the creditor, Apote Kai. If I default on this loan, this is where you go. You seize this property. Dama Rava Sa'abdu Apotiki, if a person made his Eved Kanani into an Apotiki, and Apotiki stands for Apotehe Kai, Rashi brings it down. He says, Sa'abdu Apotiki Mechavro, and then he sells it, Balchov Gobehimenu. So the Balchov can seize it from any later purchaser. Just like land, the Baal Chov has a shibud on land, so too he's got a shibud if the potiki on the eved. That's what we think. He says shoro potiki umecharo. But if he makes the shorter potiki and then he sells it, ain Baal Chov gov imenu, the creditor can't collect it. My taima hayit lekala b'halit lekala. In other words, an eved kanani has a call. It's a little bit similar to like the idea with land transactions. In other words, everybody knows. Shimon sold his Eved Kanani, and he showed Shimon had an apotki on the Eved Kanani. Everybody's on notice about this. This Eved Kanani's got an apotki. You buy the apotki, you buy the Eved, you know, it's subject to an apotki. But sure, then not as much of a call. Now, the top line on your Beis Amalala, Labatar Denapa, after Rav Nachman left the yeshiva, Amar Ula, Ula said to the people who were there, now Rav Nachman had said to Ula, did Rav Lazar say this by Yatomim or not? He said, no. He said, only by the person himself. So, no, the emes is that Reb Lazar said you can even collect the evidence from the Yatomim, meaning that Reb Lazar viewed it as karka. So, Amar Reb Nachman, ishtamtin ula. He says that ula was trying to evade me. In other words, ula didn't want to tell me the truth when I was there. In other words, he knew that like I would get into a whole big argument about this. With Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman holds like the Talflin, so he'd avoid it. And Reb Nachman heard what Ula had said, but that seems to be the situation. So the Gemara says, and we'll continue this on more tomorrow. However, Uvta b'nei Hada, there was an incident in Nehada, apparently with debt and with Avadim, but Agu Dayani d'nei Hada, and the Dayanim in Nehada collected it even from Yatomim. In other words, like Ula's revised version. In other words, they permitted the creditor, like Farka. Have a uvda pumpadita. There's been an incident in Pumpadita. He says, "Va'agve Rav Chana Bar Bizna," and Rav Chana Bar Bizna permitted the creditor to seize it. So Pumpadita apparently was where Rav Nachman held sway. So Amaluhu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to them, "Zilu Ahaduro, go get that evet, give it back to the Yitomim. Biloma binu lakulu apu naihu." He says, "Otherwise, I'm going to collect your mansions from you." In other words, he had no right to force them to disgorge the Eved. But we'll talk about it more tomorrow with this rest. So yeah. All right, let me just do a little bit with this. Yeah.
The kids have obligation to return the father's debt.
So no. So the
as a deity, right?
Yeah, yeah. So normally we say that children know that they are the karka we usually say is meshuba to the day. Normally we say
you have karka, then you have to pay it back.
Right.
You don't need to pay it
back. That I think so. I think that's
okay. Today, the children remain, if there's a house or
All right. Now I'll mention something else. Please listen. I got. Let me just. People are talking here. One second. All right. Now, one thing that Rav Leibowitz mentioned today, we were talking about Pachat Nevela before about this depreciation. So he said, let's say two people get into a car accident. And let's say Reuven dents Shimon's car. So in American law, the measure of damages is like the cost of repair. In other words, I have to put it. But in Halacha, he was saying, it really is not that way. It's much less. In other words, let's say you had your car. What was your car worth before the accident? Let's say $12,000. What is it worth after the accident? Like $12,000, it was $12,000, so it's $11,750. You know what I mean? In other words, like, how much is your car worth less now that you had the accident? Not the cost of repair. So we're saying with insurance, it gets a little trickier, but sometimes he was saying, like, people, they're like maybe two from people get into an accident, they ask a Rav, so it doesn't work out necessarily the way that they might think it would be. Okay. 41, let me just end this one second.